Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The oldest and best rivalry in the NFL.
You only got one shot, and you know, and we know that, and Chicago know that too, so it's gonna be war.
Bears, Packers, it's going to be something special. Something special.
Most of the coaches that come in, they always say,
the number one goal we'll have is to beat Green Bay.
We will proudly stand as a 95th team in the history of the Green Bay Packers when we kick Chicago's ass.
There's been some bad blood over the years.
Charles Martin took the shot at McMahon.
Charles Martin, may he rot and burn in hell. Period. New paragraph.
We got Packers. When that guy catches the ball, we're going to maul him. We're going to tear him apart. We're going to rip his spleen out. That's the whole damn objective of football.
Rodgers takes, pump fakes once and again. Scrambles to his right. Buying time. Takes it himself. He's to the five. To the end zone.
Punch him in his face.
I saw Olin Krut said he wanted to punch me in the face.
I like to punch him in his face.
Does your shirt say I still own you?
It most definitely does.
Congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. I'm just going to come out and say it. This hurts a little bit. This is a hard thing for a Bears fan to do. It doesn't hurt as much as the NFC Championship game hurt. But it still hurts.
I'm on the phone last night with Kevin Byard. He said we could feel the electric energy emanating from the tunnels at Soldier Field.
This place is absolutely on fire.
Every time we drove up to Chicago, went down the same roads, and I feel like I probably saw the same, 100 people every year flicking off the bus. I mean, it was amazing.
On the fake, Williams looking downfield.
For the first time since 2018, the Bears have beaten the Packers in Chicago.
DJ,
and it means a lot. And at the end of the day, the Packers all.
I didn't want nobody else. I want the Bears. I'd rather play the Bears first.
I definitely wanted to play the Bears. You get a chance to put the Bears season to bed. It means a lot to us for sure.
Still got to come through Chicago. I don't care what happens today. Could what happen in other series? Still got to come through Chicago.
We're going to go all out for this game, and we'll worry about the future when that time comes.
I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. It says, my fellow Americans, the Bears
are NFC North champions.
Listen to what these Bears fans are chanting. You're hearing Green Bay sucks.
Now if they could just take it and shove it up you know where.
And that's how special the rivalry is.
Thank you so much, and go Bears.
Beat the Packers!
The official adventures of... And now, live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We have got you until 6 o'clock, and man, do we have a show planned for you. Mike Golic Sr. is going to be on the call on Westwood One. He is going to join us at 5 o'clock. If you really, really want to be ready for this game, Olin Krutz is going to join us at 4 o'clock, and I know Olin has been pouring over tape. He has been thinking about his whole life in this, inside of this rivalry, and I cannot wait to hear from him at 4 o'clock. Our buddy, Barry Rosner, who has not been paying any attention at all to what the Bears are doing. But we love him, and he's close, so he said he would stop by and hang out with us. That is happening at 3.
He's on his way, by the way. Sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
Andrew Whitworth is going to join us in about 10 minutes. He is going to be one of the studio analysts on Prime. That's where the game is going to be broadcast from. Bears, Packers, tomorrow night at Soldier Field. The whole crew is here. C is engineering. We appreciate that. Alex is here. Tanny is back at the ranch.
He cut that.
That man is Matt Spiegel.
What happening, everybody? Rosner's on his way. I told him that you offered to pay his tab, whatever that he's going to get.
Till I leave.
Well, I told him that I objected. That he needs to pay. Because I think Barry has not given enough to us as a people or this place as a radio station or the listeners. So I want Barry to pay.
No, I'm paying Barry's bill because no one has acted more as my psychologist over the last 15 years than Barry Rosner. There have been nice quiet moments at Soldier Field. There have been nice quiet moments at Wrigley Field.
There you go.
Where I've been like, Barry, can I talk to you for a minute? And he's been like, sure. And so I'm buying Barry's beers when he gets here.
Outstanding. We have a nice crowd here. We got a dude over here wearing a cheese grater hat.
Yep.
They are all over Chicagoland right now. I keep thinking about our caller, Janet, earlier in the week, living life as an imprisoned Bears fan above the cheddar curtain, and all the people that have since texted in this week.
I am Janet, like I am Spartacus.
That's what's happened. We've got a lot of people saying, I am Janet, born and raised in Chicago, now living in Wisconsin, hoping that they can get out from under what has been historic Packers dominance going back a long, long way. Of the last 15 times they've played at Soldier Field, the Packers have won 12 of them. So it's still 12-3 in the last 15 at our place, but the last 4, 2-2, and every game has come down to the final play.
These four games, you have the rivalry part of it, but these four games, the way that they've played out, like edge of your seat football. And I get that, you know, the stuff that happened last year, that's under Matt Eberflus, but how many Bears fans took Caleb at the end of the season in January of 2025 winning that game as like a, hey, we're on our way. Like, just so you guys know, like, we're not going to the playoffs and we fired our dumbass coach, but we're on the way. And then you get Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson steps right into it. Like, one of the first things that he's saying is, yeah, I love beating that dude. I love beating that guy. We beat him a lot in Detroit. And Matt LaFleur is like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
You make a good point about just the quality and caliber and physicality of the last four games themselves. If these two teams did not have the history, but it was just those recent matchups, it could be like, you know, some of these other rivalries that we've seen bubble up kind of intermittently in the NFL, whether it's Ravens Steelers or when the Jags had David Garrard, and all of a sudden you're like, man, look at the way they play. And it was them and Tomlin Steelers going at each other for a while. Like, this would have that because the games themselves have been so good. The two this year come down to two Caleb Williams passes at the end. One, Keyshawn Nixon makes the play. One, DJ Moore makes the play ahead of Keyshawn Nixon.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that's happening, and it's fun. Like, the anticipation of a big game is a lot of fun, and Bears fans, a lot of them, the younger ones, have been waiting on a moment like this their entire lives. Like, they barely remember 2007, right? Like, I was talking to one of our sales rep yesterday. Her son is 25. Like, Lauren's son is 25. He barely remembers 2007. He wasn't an actualized sports fan back then.
Yeah.
So these teams start to become the teams that people remember, and the legends can be born. And in Caleb's case, it might be cemented. As weird as that sounds in year two. But if he is to beat the Packers in the playoffs after winning the NFC North in a year where no one thought the Bears were going to do anything – that's a pretty good legacy.
You got me thinking about the young Bears fan now. We've heard a couple of them recently. Well, right?
They're all here on our staff, on our promotion staff.
But even go younger. Go younger.
Reuben?
Go to a 12-year-old kid. 13-year-old kid or an 8-year-old kid. Remember, there are kids who were born in Boston in like the late 90s or the early aughts who don't know that the Red Sox were the nail to the Yankees' hammer for 80 years. They don't know. They don't care because the Red Sox won it in 04 and they won it in what, 07 and they won it in 13 and then they won it again in 18. You know, like the Bears have a chance to be the better team than the Packers for a while. And if they could do that, then there's a whole young generation of fans that we old heads and even the 30-something old heads, you know, can say, oh, you don't know how bad it was. Maybe this next generation of fans doesn't have to live like we've lived.
Well, the thing about it is that even if you don't take it to the nth degree, that the Bears have surpassed the Packers and they'll never look back, right? Even if you take it to the place of the Bears are now competitive in this rivalry. And I think that's the awakening that happened this year. I think that the first game, Bears fans walked away from that and were like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
like,
man.
We're close. Like, we're so close that in your mind, when the ball gets intercepted by Nixon in that first game, you were thinking about, not you, Speaks, but you were thinking about they're going for two. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's where
go
Bears
for two
fans.
And, the win.
And then you have the game that you were at. And you've been painting the great picture over the last few weeks. Mm. That game of, like, now we don't have to go for two. We went Caleb called game, right? Like, and now you have that moment.
He called game, and he warmed up his arms as the Iceman.
ASL for Bear.
American Sign Language for Bear.
Yep.
Did he even know that's what he was doing?
I don't think so.
Does he know now?
I hope someone tells him, because it's pretty dope that was also something that happened inside of the game.
Yeah.
That the quarterback of the Bears, who routinely goes, go Bears, then makes the serial killer-esque play of throwing the ball, putting his hands in his pocket, waiting for DJ Moore to come up with the ball, and then does the ASL sign for Bear, which is also his Iceman sign.
Yeah, man. It is crazy to be out here at Real Time Sports. We're here with our friends from Circa Sports Illinois.
We love this place.
Live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village until 6 p.m. You can come by, say hello, and register to win Chicago sports tickets from Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. We had so many roasts over there across the way.
The Aussie roast.
And then people would be in the hotel rooms right there in between.
Yep.
And then they'd come back over here.
And Les would be on until 5 in the morning.
Right.
For some ungodly reason.
Because he's Les.
Yep.
Because that was his calling and that was the man's doing. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, dude whose wife is the bartender and has been for 20 years just came over and said hello.
Yeah.
Because he's seen us here a million times.
Jeff Fritz is here, man.
Yeah, now the all-time.
Fritz is here.
Yeah. I mean, how many great events did we work on with Jeff Fritz through the years?
Some legends up here today, and one of them is going to join us at 3 o'clock. We need to take a break. When we come back, Andrew Whitworth is going to join us. Big Wit is going to talk to us about the conversation that he had with your quarterback. That is next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take a look at the Rams offense.
Andrew Whitworth, LSU.
That's called walking by the graveyard. We call that acting like you ain't scared, but you're scared.
Andrew Whitworth.
This left side of the offensive line is awfully athletic, and they're an experienced group. You're going to see the push that they're getting here at the point of attack with Andrew Whitworth,
a tremendous pro.
Four-time Pro Bowl selection.
The pass out here to the tackle eligible on Andrew Whitworth for the touchdown.
Veteran Andrew Whitworth.
I think he was one of the real
real keys to the Rams turning everything around a season ago. Not only a great guy in the locker room, but a cornerstone. He's been a tremendous pass blocker for a long time in this league.
Three-time NFL All-Pro.
I call him the OG in the game. You feel me?
It's been a great feeling just to be able to run to the left side and just see him just open up the hole for him.
I mean, not many guys are just able to run through Andrew Whitworth.
What a job by the offensive line.
He's going to block you, and he's going to make it physical. It doesn't matter what you're doing against him. He's going to make sure he hits you in the mouth.
Give Andrew Whitworth a huge assist on this. In fact, give him two assists as he blocks two men.
Walter Payton, Man of the Year Award winner.
It's a blessing and not a burden to carry on this NFL legacy. Thank you so much.
Andrew Whitworth.
Look at this big ass neck. Y'all know what this is? Everybody know who that is.
What's up?
That's what's up. Rams ain't no though. It's okay.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Prime is the location for the Bears and Packers playoff game tomorrow night over at Soldier Field. And I wonder if that field is going to look like gazpacho, considering the rain and then the freezing rain and then all sorts of other things that have happened over the last couple of days. Also, if you're an excellent former Bear and your name is on an award, Andrew Whitworth has won it. Along with being Walter Payton Man of the Year, he also won the Alan Page Award. So Witt is connected, man. He is connected. He'll be on the desk for Prime as they get you ready for kickoff. And he joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Witt, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. You pulled one out with the Alan Page Award. I respect that. That's awesome, man. That's really cool.
So we are as excited as can be, as you can probably imagine. Like, you've lived through this. You've won a Super Bowl. You won a national championship. This rivalry that has been forged over this last year, just between the two coaches and the way that Caleb Williams has grown. I know that you have a sit-down tomorrow on Prime with Caleb. When you talked with him, what were the things that you found out about him?
Well, I think you just know. I mean, when you start to hear him articulate really the impact that Ben Johnson's had on him and really the belief this football team has and what they've created this year, you know what? It's real. There's a real confidence. There's a real belief. You can see someone who is very appreciative of the situation he's in, but also realizes that he plays a huge part in making it go, man. And he has a lot of respect for the position he's playing. And really, he's got his head down and he seems convinced that, you know, he's just going to keep putting this work in, keep throwing and keep throwing, you know, as a quarterback and a leader and everything else. It's really cool to hear his spirit. And, man, I can't wait to watch this guy's journey.
Witt, it's been fascinating for us to watch Caleb kind of grow up a little bit this year, being broken down and built back up by Ben Johnson. And they've talked about it openly. It's kind of been a fascinating process. It got us thinking about your first year in L.A., or at least it was Sean McVay's first year in L.A. with Jared Goff coming off a really rough year. And wondering if you can speak to what you experienced, what you remember from that year, and if it reminds you at all of what Caleb and Ben have built together this quickly.
No doubt. We actually laughed about it. We had a good conversation. I told him there's a lot of things ingrained in my head because I heard Sean yell at him so many times to Jared that year, our first year together. The process, man, people forget these quarterbacks, man, they're doing a lot, man. They got to see the field. They got to make some decisions. I still say it's the hardest position in sports, but then you start playing for play callers like Sean McVay, Ben Johnson, who have an unbelievable, Kyle Shanahan, do an unbelievable job of all these motions and formations and changing things up and creating things to look the same but end up different. But then that's all kinds of knowledge these quarterbacks have to learn. And then they got to communicate all that. They got to articulate in a way where every single guy knows what to do. And then they got to remember what freaking snap count it was on. And that would be the thing. The also part of this genius's offense is they do that. They change the snap counts a bunch. And so when you got all those things you're trying to process, man, it's a lot. And so you have those days in camp, like Caleb joked about. I wasn't even sure if this guy liked me at first. Where you're frustrated, you're trying to get it out of your mouth the right way, you're trying to say it the correct way, you're trying to articulate it the right way, and then you forget one little detail, and it's like, man, everybody loses it. And you are the reason everything goes. And so there's a lot of responsibility in this offense, and when you say, oh, man, this guy sets him up for success with the play calls, with all these things, well, yeah. But the only way that works is if he can communicate it correctly, get it all pulled off, remember his motions, remember his snap counts, remember where everybody's going, be able to see the picture as it clears up. And all those things that are so frustrating as a young quarterback to try and get it all down, and have it run smoothly and efficiently, there's a lot on your plate. And so I think just he's conveyed some of those emotions. It's cool they share that. And then just the one-on-one meetings and much time they spent together, they're really developing a relationship that's bigger than just on the field. And I think it's starting to show in the way they do play when they go out every week.
Was there a time where you guys had your doubts whether McVay and Goff was going to work, and then it eventually did?
No, I think it's never really that. It's more that you understand that, like, even for the guys that are in it, you know, I think that's why even when you talk about, you know, whether they played or didn't play last week, you know, when you talk about an offense and first year in a system and there's all these things this guy wants to do, like, they haven't even really touched the surface of everything Ben Johnson's going to do. There's no doubt about it because you can't. You got to learn step by step. And there's a process to learning these things and these offenses and how complicated you can make it. But you got to start with baby steps. And so this offense has grown and grown in maturity and how they've handled things all season long. And Jared and Sean was no different at first. It's like, all right, what can we handle? Like, what are really good coordinators do? The personnel they have, what they are able to go out and efficiently play. What's our capability? What can we do handle mentally? And then let's go out, you know, and really be able to execute these things at a high level. And I think that's the thing is you start to watch that relationship grow, the trust level grows, and now all of a sudden, all right, I'm going to add some more things on your plate because I trust you. You've been able to handle what I have given you. And you've seen that grow with Caleb and Ben. It was the same way with Jared and Sean. As the season went on and the years went on, Sean and Jared learned to trust each other more in these play calls. And look, I got to be a part of it with Andy Dalton as well when Jay Gruden came in. I mean, I've seen multiple of these young quarterbacks go through that process of developing that trust with the coordinator.
And then the connective tissue of it, of course, is Ben ends up with Jared in Detroit, and he's the coordinator there for the Lions. And I'd love to know what you think of Ben and what he's done. Like, what are the things that you look at and you say, that's his fingerprint on how the Bears have completely turned their fortunes around in one season under him?
Yeah, I think you saw, you know, obviously people make a lot about the press conference and when he kind of made the joke to Matt LaFleur about beating him twice a year, this confidence and bravado, you know, he believed in himself. You have to have that. But there was a command to it. I think it wasn't just some kind of arrogant comment. There's a, you know, when he's listening through these things, he's not fearful to say, man, I got big expectations of myself. I know that the Green Bay Packers are really good and we're going to have to beat them twice a year. I know the Detroit Lions are really good and what Kevin O'Connell's doing with the Vikings is special. Like, we're going to have to play our absolute best football. And I'm okay saying that. And I'll live up to the expectations. But I'll be honest with you guys. You know I'm a big fella. The first thing that he did, I sent a text last offseason in March when everything started to unfold. You're trading for Joe Tooney early in the offseason. And then you get Jonah Jackson in the deal with the Rams. And then you get Drew Dahlman in free agency. Like, to me, I already knew with Ben Johnson, the play caller, rare guy. You know Detroit's going to miss him, which obviously showed. You know how special he is from that standpoint. Now you're going to find out how he is as a leader. But as a leader, the first thing he says is, man, I'm not going to ask my young quarterback to go out here and let's reinvent the wheel and let's start back at the basics and all these things I want to teach you and all these things I want to get you to be able to do really well. But I'm not going to give you the kind of people in front of you that are going to give you those opportunities. I'm going to go make sure that what you're playing in front of, like the group that's standing in front of you every single play that I'm asking you to do these things, you feel comfortable, you trust them, and you know that what I'm asking you to do, we can do. And so I'm going to build a belief in what this system is so that when you stand in that pocket and I'm telling you these things we're going to work on and trust in the footwork and when the ball's got to come out and all these things, you got the kind of group that you can trust these plays work and you can see that they work. And so I thought when he made those moves, I knew, man, this dude, I love it. He's swinging for the fences. I'm not just going to draft some linemen and say, I hope it works out for our young quarterback if these guys are good. I'm going to go get proven guys, put them in this lineup, and we're going to move forward. This was much. Y'all made the relation to Sean McVay and Jared Goff. That's how I got to L.A. That's how John Sullivan ended up in L.A. Like that line we had there that played well together in 17 and 18 and got us to a Super Bowl was put together a lot the same way. Like, hey, we're going to go get the guys that we need to give Jared Goff the opportunity to go be successful. That's what the Bears did with Caleb Williams, and you see it now and where it's gotten them.
This is great stuff with Andrew Whitworth from Amazon Prime. Yeah, like Caleb has gotten more comfortable standing in the pocket and waiting as long as he needs to wait, in part because of that offensive line. And then there's the way that they run the ball. What do you see when you watch them function on tape, that offensive line now at this point? What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, you see the ability they have to take over game. I mean, guys, I go back to our Black Friday game, you know, in Philadelphia. Man, I mean, I don't know if I've seen many teams dominate that group up front like they did and moving people, knocking people around. I mean, I was showing Sherman Fitz a couple times just the skills of how many people are on the ground or falling to the ground as the running backs are running through holes. Like, that doesn't happen a lot in NFL football, that kind of physicality. Like, they've had some weeks where you see that. And look, you know, I'm not going to shy away from it. This game this Saturday night, that will be the key to whether they win or not. Can this offensive line, who's played the way they've played, physical in the run game, they've gotten after people, they, you know, play actions, everything they've been able to do and go execute, pass blocking, protecting Caleb. Like, their impact on this game will dictate to me whether the Bears win. I want to see them go control this game. You've played great all year. You've had your moments. Go have your biggest moment, your biggest moments when your biggest moments are required. Go out Saturday night and dominate Green Bay the way the Ravens ran it on them. You've seen some teams do it. You can go do it. And if you can do it and take care of the football, they'll come out on top.
Witt, considering you had to deal with some of the best pass rushers in the game, and the Packers are trying to recover from Micah Parsons not being there, and it's been rough for them. You played the position. When you have a guy like that on the other side that's no longer there, what does that do for the other team? So if you're the Bears, you saw it a couple of weeks ago, but how can you plan to exploit that if Micah Parsons isn't bringing the immense amount of pressures that he usually does because he's not available?
Yeah, it starts to really give you some opportunities. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there's some shots you got to take in games where you want to go big and try and make create some explosives. And then there's times in the game where you say, hey, listen, if some of their best players are on the field, you know, here's the time that there may be some calls that we feel like this is the opportunity to go take them and do it. And so I think when I look at Micah Parsons up on the field, it's much like when I get in these games sometimes and a team might rush and Nick Bosa or Myles Garrett or whatever for the first couple snaps of the drive because you were backed up. You know, I never forget, I'd be motioning at Sean. You'd see me going on the sideline, hey, man, here's the time. Like, call the shot. Let's go. Like, whatever that big play action is that takes a long time to set up and develop, whatever that big play is that we think we can create an explosive, like, here's our moment to go get it. When you don't have one of those elite guys that can change every single snap, and unfortunately for the Packers, Mr. Sean Gary has not been that guy, even though in the past, you know, I really thought he was going to be somebody to make a huge impact. I actually thought the Micah Parsons trade would be most impactful on him. And, you know, unfortunately, he's not really had the production the second half of the season that you would have thought. And so, you know, when you don't have that guy, the other team, you know, they feel good about taking those chances. And so I think for the Bears, it's going to be, can we create some of those explosives? Can we take our chances? And then also, if they don't have that dynamic guy, how efficient can we be? Because I just think this Bears line group, if they can go out and just stack productive plays, lean on this run game, and really keep the Packers offense off the field where your defense stays fresh, that's going to give them the best opportunity to go win.
Andrew Whitworth from Amazon Prime. So when I Google hoodie under a blazer, right? Like if I just Google that and do an image search, I get a lot of models with what their look is. You don't come up under that. But then I see Michael B. Jordan is pretty good from Sinners. And I do see you, Andrew Whitworth. So, like, you have really moved the look forward. Was there an inspiration for it? Was it a thought process? Was it a stylist? Or is that just all you and the flair because you're a trendsetter now?
I mean, let's be honest, guys. I was a big fella. I've lost a pretty good amount of weight since I got done. It was really just a big old fat neck. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I was trying to hide some of the you know, the hangover there on the neck for a long time. So I always wore hoodies, like when I was working out, you know, when I was going places while I played. And we had like a, you know, like kind of one of those get-together dinners, get to know each other when I first got in the TNF team. And you know what? I just decided I'm going to wear a hoodie, but I think I'm going to throw like a casual jacket over the top of it. And you know, somebody we work with kind of made a comment, like, dude, that looks good. You should try to wear it like a sports coat. And I was like, why not? I mean, let's just do it. So it became a thing. It became a lot of fun. I still have fun doing it. I mix it up time to time now, but sometimes we have the hoodie, sometimes we don't. But you know what? It's fun to be a trendsetter. I mean, anytime you're telling me you're Googling and I got Michael B. Jordan and some models on there, I don't know if they think of Big Wit when they think of those people, but you know what? It's good to be up there with them, baby. It's the time. Oh, Ramen, it's our time, baby. It's our time right now. We're having fun. People are trying to respect the big fellas. Let's go.
It's so much your time. You don't even know. At 4 o'clock on our show, Olin Krutz joins us. Like, you talk about, we got some heavyweights here.
Legend. Yeah. Legend, baby. Legend.
Yeah, there it is. And I got to tell you, when I see Dan Orlovsky rocking a hoodie under the blazer,
it's too skinny.
He's not fat enough to do that. He's not fat enough.
Yeah,
that ain't
you're
right.
Not big enough, Dan. Yeah, it's kind of like in golf. You know, if you wear a white belt, you got to be under a certain weight or it just doesn't look right. You know, so if you're wearing a hoodie and you're real skinny, that just doesn't pair up correctly.
Thank you.
Whit, you're the best, man. Thank you so much. And your Walter Payton Man of the Year speech is legendary. It'll live on forever. And I'm so appreciative of it. And Jarrett Payton's one of our friends. So we appreciate you so much for jumping on. You guys do a great job on the pre- and post-game show. And we will be checking you out on Prime Video tomorrow before they kick it off.
I appreciate it, man. Tell Jarrett hello, man. That's my dude.
Yeah, right? He's the goods.
We will. We will. Have a fun time tonight, and make sure you got some rain gear ready tomorrow, just in case.
I'll be prepared, baby. I'm ready for the cold. Tony Gonzalez better be in his gloves, though. You know, he doesn't like this cold weather, so he better be wrapped up.
Yeah.
He better be.
He's not fat enough either. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Whit.
Appreciate you.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.